episode 101 of Drunk on Comics. Where I just want to take a minute to talk about M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong, the guy who...
Are you sure you want to take a moment to talk?
I'll try to. No, Shyamalan Ding Dong, he wrote that movie, The Happening, where trees are trying to kill people. I'm starting to think he's a prophet because fuck my allergies. I can't even talk straight because my face is so full of sinus.
So the reason your brain stops working is because of allergies?
Yes.
All right. Seems legit.
Yeah, he's got so much snot, it's just pushing out his brain cells.
No, oh, what few I have left.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we killed a few last night. Well, hey, everybody, welcome to Drunk on Comics. This is our weekly show where we're going to talk about comic books and some industry news and other fun, random, nerdly nuggets.
Yeah.
Fun, random, nerdly, well, I guess not really, but for you, Matt. Rev is going to probably listen to us now.
Rev?
Uncle Jeff's friend.
Really?
Who's a reverend? Yeah.
Yes!
When he's talking, he's a big comic book collector. We were talking comic books last night. And he's like, oh, you guys put this up on, where can I find it? And I'm thinking, I don't necessarily know if I want a reverend listening to this show.
Well, welcome clergy. Well, we did know that there was like an 11-year-old kid listened to us.
But that's fine. I mean, he's got the rest of his life to fuck
say,
up.
I say 11-year-olds go to public schools and they hear this type of language all the time.
Yeah, but I don't know. Actually, I think I kind of like the fact that there's a reverend listening to us. It's
help save our souls.
Yeah. One extra person praying for us, you know, or at least our livers.
Yes.
Fine with that. But my name is Derek.
My name is Tony.
My name is Matt.
Yeah, and...
Kevin. We are drunk on comics.
Yeah.
Yay.
Kevin is out doing something that I would never do, being healthy, and running a 10K today.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
It's just like we got those pins last year for running that 10K. Yeah, we hope we can get those pins again.
We got those 10K walking pins. Yeah.
But he will be back next week and joining us in Novi, Michigan at Motor City Comic Con. And it's May 16th through the 18th at the Suburban.
That's soon.
Yeah, Suburban Collection Showplace, less than a week. Holy shit.
Or for you listeners that are listening 2 weeks behind, it was a week last week, but depending on when you're listening to this.
If you can time travel it, you can still make it.
If you can time travel, you've already heard this.
Dum-bum-bum. Yeah. So, yeah, that's we're going to be there. There's going to be a lot of media guests. And celebrities and...
Awesome artists, awesome writers. Yeah. Their guest list is fantastic. Go check them out at MotorCityComicCon.com and come see us next week. We've got a panel, we've got the live podcast, and Matt has been designated to be the one that you get to poke with a stick this year.
Yeah, you can poke me with sticks.
Yeah, sharp... dull sticks are free, sharp sticks are $5.
Mm-hmm. I may just bring a couple of my swords just to defend myself. Be prepared. I'm an actor combatant, which means I can pretend to fight you back. So if you really try to stab me with a stick, you'll probably succeed.
So actor combatant, does that mean that you argue that you have a good craft?
I can only fight people if I have a good motivation.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, guys, let's get things kicked off with Off the Shelf. One more time, brought to you by Motor City Comic Con.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go first because this book's about a week old already.
Did you time travel?
I did. I just went through time normally and got this book in the past.
Or you went to Kevin's old shop.
Yeah. but we briefly touched on it last week that it came out, but I did feel that it was worth reviewing. I'm talking about Uncanny Avengers Annual number one. Written by Rick Remender, art by Paul Renaud, the normal slew of other people who help create these books and make them happen. So,
who did colors on that one? Out of curiosity,
colors. I think Paul Renaud did because it just says artist.
Okay.
Then we have letters and cover art and
variants, so he probably did inks and colors then.
So. So first off, my feelings on Uncanny Avengers kind of, I don't know, they come and they go. Sometimes I really like it. Sometimes I'm not a huge fan. I do have a lot of respect for Remender, which is kind of what has kept me reading that normal series. And so I, as a fan, I said, all right, I'll give you a shot here with with the annuals. Now, annuals are also one of those things that you either love them or you hate them. I really find very few in-between issues.
Since they're so far between any of them anyways.
They only come out once a year, unless it's a Thanos annual that has no series and comes out
whenever.
But the thing with the annuals is Avengers in the last couple years have been really cool about the annuals being an extra story to help lay the foundations of something that's going to happen next. I remember when Wonder Man got all crazy and was going to beat up the Avengers because he didn't want them to be the Avengers anymore. That started out in an annual. So that's one of the reasons that I keep picking up annuals is because traditionally I've had success that the stories that I like in an annual have filled in the gaps
for some stories. Am I remembering correctly that Wonder Man was originally a villain?
He was at odds with them.
Like at the very, very beginning?
I think when he was created with his ionic particle things that, he was nutso and fought them. I know in at least a lot of the current comics or the current cartoon shows that based off of it, like Earth's Mightiest Heroes Avengers, he was, definitely a bad guy at first.
But. Okay. I'm thinking back to, like, very, very, very original, like, first 12 or 24 Avengers.
That'd be a good question to find out.
I don't remember. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Anyways, I'm getting sidetracked here. So annuals. You either like them, you hate them. I really like this one. First off, it's a standalone issue, so if you don't get it, you're not missing anything from its normal series. In fact, it's kind of really hard to know if this one exists at all. Because it starts with, in the Mojoverse.
You lost me there.
Feel with me, because you don't know if this story actually happened or if it was just a story about a story that could have happened.
Okay.
Because it starts off in the Mojoverse with the board of directors, all the producers, telling Mojo this is his last chance to make a really good TV show or they're going to send the critics after him. And so they're in the boardroom and Mojo is pitching all the same ideas that he does. And Mojo, if you don't know him, is the big, fat, interdimensional being. They basically kidnap people and then make them fight to the death and for TV. So he's kind of what everything that's wrong with reality television and in our society. And that's where the book kind of merges into, is this a critique on TV and our current, entertainment? Or is this just a story that was good to tell? And it's a little bit of both. So it starts off with Mojo pitching his idea about getting the monstrous creatures like the Man-Thing, Blade, what's the succubus girl's name, brother of Damien Hellstorm, but
I don't.
Santana. Or
Carlos Santana?
Yeah, Carlos Santana.
Yeah, he's
Ghost good. Rider. Ghost Rider's in it. He's a big name people know.
Which Ghost Rider?
Johnny Blaze.
Okay.
And Doctor Strange. And he says that he's already have them kidnapped. So then the next thing they do is they have to kidnap the Ultimate Avengers. And so they do that. And then somehow in the middle of the book, it goes from Mojo just saying, this is my pitch for the idea of a story, to him actually being the director of this story playing out. But then at the very end, because, the heroes make their daring escape and they talk about things like, in the first act, we're just setting the stage. In the second act, we're making the complication. In the third act is when all hell breaks loose. Really, it's a good story. It's a lot of fun. But when you get to the very end, you get the producers, and you don't know whether or not this actually happened to them or this was the producers going, that would be a good thing to sell. And so it was all just a made-up story that they're going to actually make into a TV show in the Mojo universe. So now that I've done a terrible job at kind of setting it up for you, I suggest that you go out and buy it yourself so you know what the hell I'm talking about. The art in it is great. Again, the story is good. The characters, if you love them, they stay true to themselves. We also get a whole lot of humor in the middle of the book when it's a high school drama. And
Mojo is one of my favorite bad guys just because of whenever he's introduced, it could be almost anything that's going to happen. And honestly, almost anything does happen. Where, you know, in a book, you're always going to know the heroes are going to win, but how they win against him, usually unique. So
mm-hmm. Well, and he's I like the thing I like about Mojo, and what I would really like to see somebody do with him is he's one of the craziest villains out there.
He's a bit bizarre.
But I would like to see somebody take a little bit more darker approach to him, because he can be really sick mm-hmm. and sadistic, and I would like to see somebody do that, because
I don't know if that'd make him too uncomfortable, though, that you couldn't still enjoy it.
He's uncomfortable to start with. I mean, he looks like a turd on spider legs, you know. But yeah, he can be very, very terrifying.
So, ultimately, Remender is told a really great story here that is both artistic and also critical of today's kind of entertainment culture. And so, it's very self-aware in its writing, and I kind of respect that when a writer can be like, look, this isn't much different in the comic books than it is on a TV show. So, you know, enjoy the fact that you've got the great twist at the end that you know all of your heroes are going to escape, but it's in the telling of the story that you're enjoying what's happening. So, like I said, read it and then see if you kind of fall into the audience that the Mojoverse would find this interesting. So
I'm glad you brought this up, because now I'm toying with the fact next week at Motor City of having somebody do a Mojo commission for me.
Or a Mojo cosplay.
Oh, that would be awfully awesome.
There are certain types of people that can pull it off. And speaking of cosplay, I just want to bring up one of my favorite things that I saw at C2E2 a couple weeks ago. Was there was a guy dressed up like the Rancor Keeper from Return of the Jedi. And he had the physical build to pull it off, and his costume was great. And he had one of the little baby carriers that, you know, you put your kid on mm-hmm. your chest. And he had in it the Rancor monster action figure from from back in the day.
He got a new one.
Yeah, so it's like he's carrying around his little baby Rancor. And I'm like, that's fucking awesome. So.
Your guys' is the more you know moment, just to let you guys know. Yes, Wonder Man was originally a bad guy. He was created by Baron Zemo, being zapped
right.
with an ionic ray, mm-hmm. which gave him his ionic wonder power. Twin wonder powers. Power. Yes, so
okay.
Originally going after Stark and the Avengers, so.
Yeah.
Cool.
I knew I remembered
Knowing
something.
Knowing is half the battle.
I didn't kill all the brain cells, just some of them.
So yeah, so go pick up Uncanny Avengers if you can find it, because I know many stores actually sold out of it, so.
Cool. Tony, what'd you read this week?
I read a bunch of things. The thing that I'm going to review, however, is Cyclops number one.
You were still not able to talk.
No, I...
Cyclops.
So much.
We use our psionic powers to catch criminals. Cyclops.
He has psionist powers.
I will try to review this without garbling my words.
Sinus class.
Space writer is Greg Rucka. The space artist is Russell Dauterman.
Dauterman?
Yep. Colorist Chris Sonnemeyer.
Isn't that a space colorist?
He is a space colorist. Oh, okay. I guess he just said colorist.
You know, I have to admit, because one of our review writers sent in a review of this before I'd even had a chance to open this book, and he's like, space writers, space art, and I'm like, fuck it. I'm like,
I'll tell you this, I love it when on like the title pages or wherever they're doing who written and did the book.
He printed it.
When they do stuff like that, though. Like when they'll do like Lord Extraordinaire or...
Yeah, the fun... Yeah. Well, Stan Lee used to do that all the time with his titles.
Well, yeah, and everything, like he had all the alliteration with his. Yeah. The one thing I will give credit, because it was Tom Barnett, you know, good friend of our show, obviously, and a great review writer for us. But the thing that I liked, he wrote Space Reviewer.
Nice.
Go ahead, Tony.
Well, something that Derek mentions all the time was me and my brother's hatred for Superman, which I want to say it's not really a hatred. It's just we don't like him.
I don't know. Your brother looks like he's going to disagree, going, no, I hate him.
It's not so much a hatred as you just think that he's a terrible, awful character.
Well, it's terrible when his kryptonite is actually kryptonite. That's his only weakness. Like,
yeah, I mean, what is that?
I mean, he's so super powerful. There's no flaws to him that it doesn't make him a character. I don't like Superman.
I don't understand why any other hero is necessary in the world when he can do it all.
And why I'm talking about Superman right now is to kind of tie into Cyclops. Cyclops was a person I hated.
Yeah.
Back in the day, me and my brother got introduced to X-Men through the old 90s X-Men show.
Yeah.
That was kind of our first, besides a random comic book here and there.
He was such a douche.
No, not only was he a douche in that show, he was... Wolverine hated him. And we love Wolverine, yeah. So we love to hate what Wolverine hates.
Wolverine would steer us wrong, right?
Yeah. He does everything.
That's why he's a great teacher.
Moral code.
That's why he's a great teacher.
So we hated Cyclops. And I've always throughout the years just kind of like, oh my God, he's talking again in the books, make him shut up. However, through Schism, when he started talking about, no, these kids are not just kids learning, these kids are going to war, and the whole Wolverine and the X-Men and Cyclops and his uncanny X-Men happened, I started to kind of like this character a little bit better. Then he started pissing me off a bit, but that's what Cyclops does. And then all of a sudden, he's kind of like this bad guy terrorist and leading the uncanny X-Men. I mean, he fucking killed Xavier, for God's sakes. Never saw that one coming. So his character is become...
Wait, he killed Xavier?
So you're supposed to say spoiler alert. I'm still not done with AVX.
Now we get introduced to this younger Cyclops, who could turn into the same peon that adult Cyclops was throughout his life. Luckily, we don't have to do that.
So is this Cyclops book about...
All-new X-Men Cyclops.
All-new... Okay, so past Cyclops, young Cyclops.
Yes.
No, I was not aware of that.
So with time traveling...
I thought this was a flashback-like story.
You know what I just realized, though? I think I understand now why the all-new X-Men don't want to go back to their original time, because they don't want to have to live through fear itself either. Sorry, Matt, you're drinking your beer.
Very true.
Oh, I'm going to drink that brain cell away.
Yeah.
So this, it's twofold. It gives this young Cyclops who, throughout his life, and had he gone back in time to his original time, would not have known his father until he's an adult. Corsair, who is kind of space traveling with the younger Cyclops right now, coming out of the whole all-new X-Men / Guardians of the Galaxy crossover event when they come to help, gives Corsair this new moment to actually help his son, which is a little weird, too, because it is his son, but it isn't his son. He's already become to terms with his son where they don't hate each other anymore as an adult, but it gives him a chance to actually be a father, but he's also kind of realizing, I don't know how to do that. I don't know what that is, and I don't want to steer him wrong.
It's a good thing I had a career in space piracy, because I would have been an awful father.
So... I picked this book up, and I got a lot of books this week, and I had a lot going on. I have not had a chance to read it. All I want to know is the Cyclops call Corsair Space Dad.
You're not my real dad. You're just my space dad.
You're my space dad.
My time-traveling space dad.
No, he doesn't, but he talks about, what is her name? Hezebub, who is
Hezbollah or whatever.
Yeah. Who is Corsair's girlfriend or whatever. He's like... It's like my dad's squirrel, skunk, alien girlfriend / stepmom, I guess. And, and so it's really this whole is all through his perspective. Through it, he also talks about wanting to write a letter to Jean of all the shit that he's gone through with that, of loving her, and then he's supposed to love her, and that's what they're going to happen, but if not, and now he's just having fun in space. One of the coolest thing that's foreshadowing how this book can go is... Definitely Cyclops has always been a tactician. I will always give him that. And he's had a pretty sweet-ass power. It's just that he was a little bitch that we didn't like him.
To interrupt, but I've always found that his power... At first I'm like, oh, he shoots laser beams from his eyes. But he doesn't. He actually shoots concussive force beams from his eyes that if he narrows it small enough, the pressure would cut like a knife. Or he can just like incapacitate people by like punching them really, really hard with his eyes. And that's honestly about the time that I had a turning point for Cyclops. Of like, oh, you're not just a laser beam eye. You got
multifunctional.
Your multifunctional laser beam. And actually, as I grew older, the more I started to like him was because of his tactician skills and his leadership skills. Same way that I actually started liking Captain America as I got older, mostly because of Ultimate Captain America, who was like, I'm a soldier, but I'm not, you know, and I still have high ideals, but, you know, I will still kill a guy because I'm a soldier. So
yeah. And one of the things that in this that you first get taught off is he's up there with the stepmother out in space learning to kind of fly with the rocket pack.
Space mom.
Yeah. But she's going on, no, just shoot your blast, try to control it. Where you all of a sudden see that the face mask of his space helmet is kind of like a clear shield type, you know, not an actual plastic or glass covering, but a ion field whatever. So he can still shoot his laser beams out in space. But with that concussive blast, he can kind of fly through space, which when he's talking to one of the other crew members of how, yeah, people will think I'm like running away with his jetpack, but then he can just zap and then head straight back into him. And I'm like, I can see some cool space maneuvers going on with this throughout the battles.
If we really want to get nerdy there, technically in space battles, you wouldn't be flying around like jet planes do. But instead, you would be like this little cube moving in any direction you wanted to by simply pushing yourself in that
opposite. Stop bringing your math into this shit.
I'm sorry. Star Wars is wrong. Well, I mean, I love Star Wars, but...
No, it's not. You know why they do that? Because they have artificial gravity within their ships, and if you were to jump like that, people would be, like, fucking flying all over the place. It's so they don't screw themselves up, bang into walls. I mean, nobody likes it when like, you know... Like
no one
the
likes
big
physics.
Tools fall on Chewie's head and he gets all angry.
Damn you, physics, I'm going to drink you away.
At the end of this, though, Corsair finally realizes, though, but no, his son really needs him right now at this moment in time. So they just captured a Badoon ship and it could be crewed by two men. So Corsair tells the rest of his Starjammers that he'll meet them somewhere in a couple months, but just him and his kid are going to kind of go off on a space adventure looking
space
for booty.
Space bonding moment?
Yeah.
For space booty?
Yes. So, I mean, it really picked up to where, aw moment, and also it makes me intrigued enough to actually want to see this young Cyclops do better than his counterpart.
So if Cyclops would have had a father figure, he wouldn't have killed his future father figure.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Wonder where this might head to.
Yeah.
Because he already thought Corsair was dead, so yeah. Why not make it so?
I thought Corsair was dead, too, so that's why when I saw this book, I thought that it was a flashback, judging its book by its cover. I thought it was a flashback Cyclops story because Corsair was in.
I originally, when they first announced it, thought it was how two. However, oh, wait, this is going to be about...
That intrigues me more because I do like... I'll admit, I was skeptical at first when they brought the five original X-Men from the past, but I'm really loving it now. So,
a couple things. I mean, because like I said, I have not had a chance to read this yet, but I did flip through it. The artwork, I'm actually pretty impressed with the artwork. The one thing that I will say that Dowderman excels at is the facial expressions, particularly with Corsair. I mean, you can see like a ton of emotion in there.
There's one even just the stubble on his chin underneath his mask, like that he was able to just, I mean, they're just small dots, but it kind of, I was drawn to that of like, that was kind of cool that you detail.
Yeah.
It's actually true, especially when you think about the fact that the eyes are one of the most expressive things, and Cyclops, you can't really express his eyes because it's always the same visor. Yeah. So.
Well, it's either happy or shooting you mad.
Yeah. I've either got eyebrows up and I'm happy, eyebrows down and I'm angry.
The one thing I will say is, like, you know, when I saw this cover, I was like, oh my God, like, I was so excited. The art inside does not match the cover on the outside. Both are great, but they're completely different. And Alexander Lozano, mm-hmm. who did the art on the cover, holy shit, is that good. Yeah. I'm not familiar with his work, but...
We will be now.
Yeah. Cool. All right. I've got... Well, Tony has the Watcher's eyeball in his hand.
Spoil it for everyone. I killed the Watcher.
You know, yeah, but you know what? I have two of those now, so like I have both of his eyes. It's great.
I have three of them, actually.
Yeah. Where's his third eye?
It's Third Eye's Blind.
I was waiting. I'm like, damn it. All right. I've got this week for off the shelf, The Wake, number 8 of 10 from Vertigo, written by Scott Snyder, art by Sean Murphy. And we tend to talk a lot of number ones on the show because...
Well, when they restart over every year, we're going to have to talk about number ones.
Well, no, it's every issue is number one, basically. It's nice that we have an ongoing series, limited, although, you know, limited that it may be. It's very cool to be able to sit here and have a story that's just continuing and that is fantastic. This is a hard book to talk about, only because the first 5 issues were set in, like, our present time. The last 5 issues are set in the future, after the Murs, the Mur people, basically flooded the Earth, and they're fighting against the humans and trying to take, you know, the world back.
Merman! Merman!
What?
He's Zoolander.
The Mur people.
Oh.
They're Merman.
Yeah. But, so... This is, I mean, like, getting close to coming to the conclusion here. And in the future, you have this, our hero is a young woman named Leeward. And she has heard a recording or a broadcast from the woman who we originally met in the first few issues. Presumed dead, because obviously it's like, you know, hundreds of years later. But this book is so, so engaging. And I think that's the one thing that draws me to it. The words themselves that Snyder puts in, he is very reminiscent to me of any fans of Firefly, that where Joss Whedon created a whole new dialect in that. There's a lot of the little things in here that they do. And because of the fact that it takes place in a water world, if you will, one of the pirates in here, he never says, you get it, right, you understand. No, it's fathom. And I thought that was kind of a cool thing.
Because it's also a nautical term.
Yeah. And when people swear, they just draw a little fish in the in the word balloon. You know, it's the little shit like that go
little,
in
little fish word balloon, you mean, like that?
Yeah, but it's just the little details in the writing and the play and all that I think really work. Now the art by Snyder is just absolutely gorgeous. I mean, I sit here and like I'll just sit and look at page after page after page and not even read, because this guy is a genius when it comes to what he's doing. I can't get into the story too much without spoiling a ton. But I know that I touched on before that the Murs have this toxin, and if they bite you, you start to, or they can release it into the water or into the air, and you start to, basically you're hallucinating, you're tripping, and then that makes you easy prey for them to kill. There's a couple scenes in here where people have to deal with the effects of that, and it's very well done. I'm still super excited because they still have Leeward's little dolphin friend Dash in here, and I kind of like the dolphin. I'm not gonna lie.
I will found say his purpose.
His purpose.
Yes.
Yeah. I will say when I picked this up, I'm like, man, this is a really light book. You know, now granted, it's $2.99, and I was like, this is bullshit. I'm getting ripped off. I went home and I read it. You know what? There's more than enough there for $2.99, and it's probably your normal length comic. I think the actual paper stock just might be a little thinner. But if you haven't been reading this book, go back, buy all 8 issues, and if for some reason you can't find them, when this comes out on trade, you absolutely have to read it. This is a fantastic book, and I'm praying to God that somebody picks this up for a film, because this would be one of the coolest films ever made.
Cool.
So, all right, that's it.
That was Off the Shelf this week.
Brought to you by who?
Brought to you by Motor City Comic Con. Come on, Derek. You know, you've been at the show long enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I have. Okay. all right. Shall we do some news here, Tony, or should we?
Me and Matt, we're going to actually quick come up with something that we're going to try to play around with. We don't have a name for it yet, but it's going to do with events. Something where it could be a smaller segment instead of having to review an entire book and then talking about all the other side books. It'll just be a place where listeners will know could be when a big event such as Forever Evil or
Original Sin.
Yes.
Or that other one that shall not be named, but it had a lot of hammers.
Yes. So we're going to call it, we're thinking about like happy hour, but it's not going to be a real hour.
I was thinking like it's seasonal, so it could be seasonal brews. Seasonal brews.
I don't know. So we're going to call it with a name. We're going to do that. But there's a lot of books coming out for Original Sin, which obviously we're going to talk a lot about that, as well as we will talk when Forever Evil finishes and any other crossovers that happen, such as when IDW had their X-Files crossover that came out every week. It'd have been a quick spot to say, hey, for those that were curious on what's going on in the story, this is why you need to pick this up. Here's the story going on. So we don't need to have a whole book review of it, but kind of just to say, keep this shit's
informed.
Good. Yeah.
Keep you informed. So we'll start this week with Original Sin number one. Tony got the Scotty Young cover with the Watcher's eyeballs being held by Deadpool. He's so cute with those eyeballs. But in it, as many of you are aware, Uatu the Watcher has been killed. They set it up real nice as Nick Fury is coming back as like an old cop. Gonna solve this mystery.
Not Samuel L. Jackson, Nick Fury, too.
No.
Who wrote and drew this?
The story is by Jason Aaron, and the art is, I think they have the cover. It's one of those in the back type issues. Or is it? Maybe not. Where is it? Where's it? Where are your cover page? There we go. All right. Mike Diodato.
Okay.
Diodato? Yeah. Did the artist. Frank Martin was a colorist. I mean, you put your big names on a big crossover event. Jason Aaron, I've been loving his humor. He's got some good wit. He gives a little introduction panels to, you know, characters. Like the first time you see Wolverine, for instance, they say, Wolverine, Weapon X, X-Man, and Avenger. And they give a little, you know, synopsis of what their characters are.
Biggest thing about the event is you obviously find out that Nick Fury knows of something that they did in the past that they don't want to have come up. You have someone who murdered the Watcher, which they also are figuring how the hell does that happen, especially when he can see everything. You get to see the Watcher knowing full well that this moment's going to happen and it needs to happen. And then there's the whole case of his eyeballs are missing. What the hell's with that? So you dispatch a bunch of different teams to different places where there may be some leads to figure this out. All the while when these mindless ones come out and are attacking in New York City, which kind of pulls Spider-Man into the realm too, because he's like, what the hell's going on? And he's there when...
Spider-Man's got to be a part of it.
Yeah, he's got to be there somewhere. And then at the very end, you get to see that there is this bad guy who's got these eyes who are turning these mindless ones into... mind ones, I guess. Mind they're starting to ones? Have yeah. minds. So that's part of what this is going. And this person's got the Watcher's eyes, which are showing all, revealing all. Yeah. And they want to know about that original sin. So very much so, this is the first book kicking it off, but there are going to be plenty more coming down the road. This segment should be quicker than this because we want to not do a full review of the book and everyone in it. But
so we'll get better.
When we learn how to read
well. But that kind of ties us into a news item that we want to talk about. Or remember we talked about Original Sin when we talk about news.
Okay. Well, let's jump into news then.
All right.
All right. News brought to you by Daw Apparel. And we've already got some... I already know of at least a couple of our fans out there that are sporting some cool Drunk on Comics t-shirts. And you should too. So go to dawapparel.com, dawapparel.com, and use the code DOC20. Save 20 bucks, or 20 bucks. You save 20%.
Jeez.
Save 20%.
20%.
Well, you'd save 20 bucks if you spend $100.
There you go.
Yeah.
Math works out on that.
Yeah. But go check them out. And, you know, if you order one now, you might be able to impress us and walk up to us at Motor City wearing one of our shirts and looking really fucking cool.
We will waive our $5 signing fee for free.
We have a $5 signing fee?
You haven't. Is that why no one's come up to my booth to get signatures? You're doing it for free? All right, so something that Matt had just mentioned, an Original Sin tie-in, Guardians of the Galaxy number 18, which is pretty much going to explain what the hell happened to Richard Rider after the whole...
Yeah, so they had a big crossover event in space, which kind of concluded the whole Reign of Kings and War of Kings cycle, where an evil Adam Warlock, or no, Captain Marvel, came from some universe called the Cancerverse where nobody died. And in order to save our universe from being killed by that universe, Richard Rider, Star-Lord, and Thanos were all caught in the Cosmic Rift when that universe closed. And then all of a sudden we got a new Star-Lord. And we got a new Thanos coming back.
And they've also mentioned it within the books of they don't want to talk about what exactly happened and how they got back. And not only that, Black Bolt, I think, was also part of over there, too.
No, he wasn't when it closed. He was the one that opened it in the first place because of his voice.
Yeah.
And he got out before. But, yeah, it was just those three that were trapped there. And then, so now, but the one they haven't talked about at all has been Richard Rider.
And Nova, there's the new Nova book. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff going on, and I know this is all going over Derek's head because he never read this stuff, but this was what Marvel, like a huge part of Marvel that I enjoyed and loved.
Yeah.
And why people are loving the new Guardians of the Galaxy, they really need to pick up these segments, or not these segments, these...
back issues of the, when Star-Lord first brought that team together was during that Reign of Kings cycle, or it was after... the Conquest.
Yep, Annihilation War, yeah. And Annihilation Conquest, which was just a great, great written story. It was a space opera. So that this is a huge thing for Original Sin, I am looking forward to it, and I know many other readers who have read that are. We will tell you about it later, Derek, in our
That's segment. Fine, because you know what? Speaking of space operas and things that you haven't read, Saga is now available on the Humble Bundle DRM free, where you can download it for and pay whatever you want to pay for it for the first volume.
Yeah, Humble Bundle is something that I had mentioned a while ago is a site that everyone just should look at. Like every 2 weeks when they usually come out with a new one, these things span mainly video games and Steam type video games and PC video games, but sometimes you get some other different gems, such as books, some ebooks, and you name your price.
Yeah. They've got available East of West, Lazarus, Morning Glories, Fatale, and the Manhattan Projects, and Invincible, as well as Saga. So, Matt, you could actually go on there, and you could actually read the first volume and pay what you want.
I'm just going to borrow Tony's book.
Well, here's the thing, though.
He's never going to read them, so just
take them. I'll take them before him.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though, Derek, with the Humble Bundle packages. Fuck me and being able to talk. There are the ones that you can name your price for. There are ones that are also certainly locked unless you pay the average. And Saga is one of those that, in Revival, are one of them that are locked right now. So right now, the average is $10.16. You'd have to pay at least that. So you could get the other ones for free, East of West, Fatale, Lazarus, and Morning Glories, for a penny if you really wanted to. But you're not going to get the coveted all of these other ones unless you pay that average. That's kind of how they can kind of still make a little bit of money to go for. And when you go to this site, you get to pick how that money's spent. Does it go to Humble Bundle for them to be able to come up with more awesome deals? Does it go to the creators of the work? So whether it's the video games that are made, these artists.
Give it to the creators.
Or you can do the third option and give it to charity, which is this is what it's all about. So there's a sliding scale. You can put in how much you want to donate, and you can slide that scale any which way, and it will subtract from different parts of it to do it. So really there's three different ways to do it. All three are worthy of some part of your donation. Definitely go check out Humble Bundle right now. You actually have let's see. Oh, fuck. You have 3 days remaining on this Humble Bundle, so get it soon. That's
the time of recording.
Yes.
And so, yeah, probably about 2 days by the time the podcast airs.
So yep. On Tuesday, May...
Yeah, all you people listen to this
Tuesday
after
and 13th,
May 13th, yeah, I think.
That's, yeah, you lost out, but you should be checking out this
hey, this so time travelers, anyways. You'll be all right. Yeah. okay, one of the other things that I saw that was out there, speaking of time travel, is Deadpool versus X-Force, the time travel extravaganza, basically.
Yeah, I guess they're going to be fighting in revolutionary times, and they're going to be fighting...
They're going to be in the 1700s, the 1800s, the 1970s.
I thought Deadpool and Cable were BFFs, and that means forever. Best friends forever.
He even went to Cable's funeral when he thought he was dead and had a whole issue out of it. And
Cable's consistently not killed Deadpool when he was around, so, I mean, they're friends, right?
Yeah.
Batman versus Superman. They're friends. Yeah. So this is this book has come out. Dwayne Swierczynski is writing it. He's a fantastic writer. So I'm not big on these characters, but I'm a fan of his writing, so I might actually check it out.
I know Tony and I will probably pick it up because he likes Deadpool a lot and I like Cable a lot.
No, it's coming out this July.
All right. Maybe so I can save some money.
You got a little time. What else is out there in news, Tony?
There was so some kids stole a Flintstone mobile out of their local comic book store's display, and the owner the kids got picked up later on and admitted that they had stolen it, and the owner, rather than pressing charges against them, decided to make them do some community service by dressing up as Flintstone characters.
For Free Comic Book Day.
For Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
So it got a little publicity for his shop. You know, shame on the kids for, you know, stealing. But, you know, kudos to the owner for kind of being like, all right, I don't want you to have a, you know, huge permanent record of, you know, stealing valuable objects.
Well, and
because it might have gotten him over a misdemeanor at that point.
Yeah, so. Well, and kudos to the kids themselves for owning up, mm-hmm. doing it. They did it with, they did it with a smile. They, you know, they said, you know what? Yeah, we learned our lesson, kind of thing. And
yeah,
that was great.
So a nice little story. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
What else do we have for news?
Marvel is turning 75, and for their not turning 75. They already had that. They're having their 75th anniversary omnibus, where they want to know which stories you would like to be included into it. So email your thoughts at marvel75@marvel.com and see if yours makes it to print.
I think they should include the part where Drunk on Comics came into being and talked about a lot of their books.
Yeah, I would like that part in there. We gotta email it, though, because they don't want voice.
Fans, start emailing them back. And Marvel being like, what the fuck is this Drunk on Comics thing?
All right.
It's part of your original sin, Marvel. You were drunk.
I don't have anything else on news unless you guys do.
I really don't either.
It's kind of a light week on the news. So, all right, let's move on a little Best on Tap. And Best on Tap this week was, without a doubt for me, the Magneto number 3 Mark Brooks variant. And we got a chance to briefly meet him at C2E2 a couple weeks ago. And I tell you what, I mean, just seeing his art up close and watching that guy draw, he is one of the most talented people out there right now. And colors on this cover are great. It's just overall beautiful, beautiful book.
It's those magnetic lines. The bluish colored magnetic lines.
It draws you in. It just attracts you.
It
certainly doesn't repel you.
Well, it depends on if you're a positive or a negative person.
Well, then again, positive and a negative. I bet you they'd like each other
quite a bit.
They'll at least be attracted.
One of the things that
I've
noticed,
chicks like assholes because they're opposites. One's negative, one's good. I don't know. Trying to help out with this analogy here.
Yeah, you
don't.
Stop thinking, Tony.
What were you saying?
The pollen spores have made it to your brain. No, I kind of like how Magneto's got a utility belt now.
Pouches.
Yeah, pouches.
Yeah. Well,
if you're going to carry... Well, you don't never know if you find yourself in an environment that's not... It's lacking metal. You know, it would make sense to carry around...
Paper clips. Metal.
Yeah, paper clips and...
Oh, God. Did you read this issue yet?
Yep. No, I'm behind. Magneto.
So. Yeah. Great issue, too. But, yeah. So, cover on that. Check it out. All right.
You got some for Indy?
I do. Little Indy Turnpike here. Matt.
He's not going to do it.
No.
Long, like, awkward silence.
No, I'm just looking at Matt going, I think he wants to, but he's trying not to.
You can't see me, but I'm nodding my head vigorously.
Yeah.
Okay.
This week for...
That's the sound of the ocean, not a highway.
Yeah. The Indy Canal. For Indy Turnpike this week, I've got Nailbiter number 1 from Image Comics. This is written by Josh Williamson, art by Mike Henderson, colors by Adam Guzowski, and letters and book design by John Hill. And this, we talked to Williamson here a couple weeks ago. This is definitely a book that I wouldn't be able to talk about, we joked about before the show, if Kevin was here right now, because it's a little gruesome. And
well, even the front cover is pretty...
Someone's biting their nails till they're bloody.
Yeah. Well, this book is about a small town where they've... for whatever reason, 16 serial killers have been born and raised in this town. And so there's kind of the whole cop aspect of what is it about this town, what's the tie-in, blah, blah, blah. And Nailbiter refers to this most recent serial killer who was acquitted for whatever reason, but killed, what was it here, 46 people suspected of killing, and he went after people that chewed their nails, that bit their nails.
Okay.
And then he would capture them and tie them up, and then...
Fuck, I just bit my... And then subconsciously, not even thinking of this book, and
you're chewing.
I'm dead.
Yeah.
I used to bite my nails as a kid. I got over that habit.
Yeah, but he would actually let them, like, he'd tie them up, and their nails would grow out, and then he would start chewing their fingernails off till he, like, went down to the bone, and he's actually a cannibal, and yeah.
That's kind of gross.
Yeah, this book is, it's a little grotesque at times.
What state is this small town in?
I think this is in California.
Okay. Yeah, a bunch of fruits and nuts live in California.
And wines. Fruits, nuts, and wines. Yeah. It's Oregon. It was Buckaroo, Oregon.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's worse or not.
They got a trail and dysentery.
Dysentery?
It's the Oregon Trail.
Dysentery?
Whatever.
Are you making up words again?
I'm pretty sure dysentery is a word.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, very, very well-written book. This is not a book for everyone. Obviously, it's going to be a mature read on here. The artwork and the colors really set the tone for this. It's a little disturbing, but if you like A Walk on the Dark Side, check it out. I'm curious as to where this goes. This is going to be, I think, definitely for the people that like... things like Criminal Minds and those type of shows.
Trying to figure out the motivations behind terrible crimes. Okay.
Yeah, so give it a shot. And but if you're a little squeamish,
not for you.
Not for you.
Cool.
But yeah, great book though.
All right. And we have Booze in the Book coming up next. Booze in the Book brought to you by Ink Whiskey. Check them out at inkwhiskey.com. Right now, their product is something that we've been raving about for quite a few weeks now, and you've seen the pictures. They're concealable entertainment flasks. Looks like then, drinks like now. They have 5 to select from, so definitely check them out at their website, inkwhiskey.com, and go purchase one of those because you will definitely enjoy the novelty of it.
And the cool thing is, they're $20 and there's free shipping, because I went and checked because I was going to order a couple more here myself. And I was like, what am I going to do? And I'm like, well, maybe I'll see who else wanted to order some. And I'm like, you know, we'll save on shipping. And I went on, I'm like, fuck, it's free shipping. You can just order them one at a time.
Yep. So this week's Booze in a Book is A Flaming Jesus paired with God is Dead number 12. Mainly because if you've read this, a big WTF moment, JC is back in his house. And he's kind of pissed off what people have done to Dad's place.
Yeah.
It was really something that when reading this, I was wondering if they were ever going to actually have Jesus show up. And since he finally did, wow.
What's a flaming Jesus?
It is, well, for a typical drink, 1.5 ounces of vodka, a splash of lime juice, a splash of grenadine syrup, and a splash of high proof rum. And then you can light it on fire. And,
if you layer the high proof rum on the top, yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
Cool.
Oh, Jesus. You look so cool with your hoodie and your sandals. Gotta have sandals.
Yeah. All right.
You guys got anything for last call?
I got a few. What do you guys got?
Oh, man. Let's see. Deadpool versus Carnage number 3 came out. That one is still funny. I'm glad.
It's funny to have Carnage in a funny book.
Tony, are you reading Hinterkind?
Yes, I have been since the beginning. I even reviewed it. It's my replacement for when Fables ends, kind of. I enjoy the art and the story and the mythicalness of our real world with mythicalness.
That was very poetic. I like how you rhyme mythicalness with mythicalness.
I try.
I'm going to rhyme.
You try too hard.
I'm going to rhyme brain cell with puppy. Caliban, number 2 from Avatar. I reviewed number 1 here a while back. It's a cool book. But Ennis is a hell of a writer. Apocalypse Al wrapped up issue 404. So if you missed these individually, I'd recommend picking up the trade when that comes out.
The apocalypse is over?
Well, read the book.
There's another Amazing Spider-Man out, Learning to Crawl 1.1, which ties into, well, with the new Spider-Man's coming out, it's going to be another series that's coming out with it that kind of explains its origins differently, but the same.
I bought it. That was the other book that I didn't even have a chance to open. So, The Punisher number 5, it's still on the first story arc, which is surprising because it seems like most big books only do like a 3 or 4 issue story arc nowadays.
How is he in? Is he kind of like an asshole in it, or
there's
puppy loving Punisher? I mean, I know he's never that, but no, is he just a dick?
He kind of is a puppy loving because he has a coyote for a pet.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But no,
does he help the coyote get those damn roadrunners?
Yeah. It's interesting. He's still a hard ass, but you do see a little bit of a softer side. But this is definitely an action book. There hasn't been, with what Edmondson's doing on here, there has not been a ton of dialogue in there, which I kind of like a little bit more inner dialogue with my Punisher. But it's a minor thing. It's a great fucking book. Burn the Orphanage, Reign of Terror, number 1 of 5 from Image, from Cena Grace and Daniel Friedman. And we'll be hanging with both those guys here next week. And so I kind of reserved talking about this week, knowing that we will be chatting with them in length then.
We got Loki, Agents of Asgard, number 4. Still a fun story, particularly because you don't know how tricky Loki is being. So it keeps you intrigued as to who the real double cross is coming against.
I'm just thinking, he's tricky. He's tricky, 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 tricky. It's tricky to rock.
I don't know the song. Tricks are for kids, Derek, not old people.
All right, last one I got was Dead Letters number 2 from Boom Studios. I talked about issue 1, I think. roughly a month ago. Holy shit, is this book good. So good. I mean, nothing like Mafia Wars set in Limbo to really make you like enjoy a book. And I gotta say, the art by Chris Visions, worth the price of admission by itself. I mean, I got to the second page on here and went, wow.
He had to go change his diapers. I mean, there, pants.
There's so much going on in this. You guys haven't seen this yet. But, I mean, just look at how much background detail he puts in on every freaking panel.
That actually, I do see what you mean.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So, those are my suggestions this week. Tony, did you have any others, or Matt?
No, that was kind of it. We all covered...
covered them in various different ways. Lots of them that came out, so...
Yeah, cool. And we got our books from Kevin Mellon, so I got to go read those.
Yep. Listeners, if you haven't already taken a chance, pop in your cassette player and listen to last week's special edition of our Motor City Comic Con tips and tricks and people who are going to be there and all that, because if you're planning on coming to see us, you might as well listen to that and learn a little bit more about the show if you are in not the know.
Well, yeah, and I think especially for first time convention goers, it can be very beneficial. So
until then, I can't wait to get out of Dodge and into
Novi.
Yeah,
yeah. All right. Well, Tony, I got a little something here for you.
Okay.
Because this has got the good Cyclops in it.
Oh, that takes me back.
All right. Well, you guys keep reading your comic books. We will be back next week live in Novi, Michigan at Motor City Comic Con, and we'll talk to you about them then, there.
And by live, he means we'll be alive.
And maybe.
We'll put a podcast there.
No, if they're there, we're live.
That's true.
Yeah.
Semantics are fun.
Yeah. All right, Tony, let's go get you some nasal stuff.
It's affected Derek's brain, too.
It is happening, happening.
There's so much snot in here, I can't think.
M. Night Shyamalan has done it again.
All right.
Turned us into a turd that is Avatar and all of his other movies.
He didn't do Avatar?
Yeah, Last Airbender?
Yeah, he did.
Oh!
Yeah, I was thinking the Avatar, the James Cameron one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, what we need is that, like, surprise moment where it makes you jump because he's always got one of those just for shits and giggles.
Actually, you know what the twist on this podcast is going to be?
All my luck ran up in flames. Without a doubt, I'm the one to blame. I think it's time for things to change. Don't deserve another chance, so leave it in your hands. Is this what you had planned? If you want me to go, I'll go anywhere. If you want me to stay, I'll stay right here. If you want me to be, I can be everything you need. Worse than I let on. Mistakes I've made some.